something very special about hearing God's word read in another language. So for those of you who don't speak Farsi, just I hope you can bear with that. But I think for our Persian part of the community, it's really precious for them to hear it in their language. And I know for myself, even just praying this morning with Masume, hearing her praying in Farsi, God hears our prayers and hears his word in whatever language we have. And it's really precious, I think, for us to be able to acknowledge that and to appreciate that in each other. So for those of you who may not know Diane or Ray, who we just saw in that video, they are a very much loved part of our church family here. They're a part of our family that we support financially, as well as through prayer. And David and Shirley in particular correspond with them on our behalf and give us regular updates. But they're in the process of moving from one part of the country to another. And so they wanted to send us that update so that we could actually see what they're doing, so that we can better pray for them and support them. And I thought it might be good for us to just do that now. Lord, we want to thank you for Di and Oray and their beautiful daughter, Sephora. We want to thank you for their faithful servant hearts, for their willingness to move away from family and friends and connections to a completely new country, to a completely new community. Lord, we thank you for their generosity of heart in giving their lives to you and giving their lives to these people, enduring hardship and difficulty, enduring separation, but all, Lord, so that they can share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who've not had the privilege that we have of hearing. And so we lift them up to you. We pray for them to know your presence in real, tangible ways, for your spirit to be at work in their lives, giving them the words that they need, the actions that are appropriate, that help them to be relevant to the communities that they're working in. And we pray, Lord, that through them, the people around them will come to see and to know, to consider and to understand that you alone are God and that you desire to know them and have them know you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, before we move on, let me just say, if you have any of these at home, you need to bring them, because my girls are just producing massive amounts of eggs and I don't have enough egg cartons. So I keep giving away our eggs, but I also have to give away our egg cartons. So if you have any of these, this lovely empty egg carton has come to me this morning courtesy of the Pipers, which I will now fill and give back to the Pipers. So I've been giving eggs to my English class, but they don't give me egg cartons back. So if you would like some eggs, bring in your empty egg cartons. And even if you don't want eggs, can you still bring in your egg cartons for me? It would be greatly appreciated. So thank you. Okay. So today we're starting a new series. It's a 4-week series. And it's based on some material from Global Interaction. So Global Interaction is the mission arm or the mission agency for our Baptist churches here in New South Wales. And it's made up of men and women who are currently involved in mission work in Africa, in Asia, and also through Australia. And they're trying to find ways to help people. They're trying to find ways to help those who are working out in those mission, on those missions, to be able to present the message of Jesus in ways that are relevant and that are culturally appropriate, a little bit like what Di and Oray are currently doing. Global Interaction every year wants to encourage the churches to be teaching and thinking about missions, so they put together a series, and this year the series is based on John 15. So it's a passage that many of us know probably very well, but it's a really good passage and it has a lot to actually say to us this morning. But before we look at John 15, I want us to just think for a moment about where these verses fit in the overall story of the Bible. Because none of the Bible, no verses or chapters stand alone. Every verse is part of God's bigger story. So where does this part fit? If you look at John's Gospel, John the Apostle, his account of his time with Jesus, this story fits in the night before he died. So Jesus has just shared the Passover meal with his closest friends and followers, and he's washed his disciples' feet. He's just been telling them that he's actually about to die and that one of them is going to betray him. I can't begin to imagine how devastating it must have been for them to hear those words. For them to hear that this man that they have given up everything to follow is about to die. But Jesus doesn't dwell on that. He actually says, don't be sad. This isn't actually a bad thing. This is all part of God's plan. He's in control of this. And instead of being sad, you actually should be glad. Because in me going, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue what I began. The Spirit of God is going to empower you. The Spirit of God is going to teach you and give you God's peace. After giving them these words, they leave this upper room and Jesus takes them out into a local vineyard. And there he continues this teaching because he wants to prepare them for their future mission, for what life's going to look like for them once he's gone. And it's his words to them in this vineyard that we're looking at this morning. It's his words of encouragement. It's his words of reassurance. They're words of invitation and of challenge. And they are equally relevant for us today as they were for them. So let's have a look. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. I love the way that as I read this, I see Jesus use familiar everyday objects, things that they would have been very familiar with. He finds this common ground with people that are listening to him so that they can relate to what he's saying, so that they can better understand. It's something that I'm sure Di and Auray are also doing. And as Jesus is talking to his followers, I am sure that they were able to picture a vine that was being cared for by a gardener, able to see the branches of that vine stretched out along the trellis that's supporting them, that's keeping them safe and clean up off the ground. Now, I suspect that not everyone here is a gardener, or maybe has seen a vineyard. So throughout this, I've tried to put some pictures in so that we can relate better to what Jesus is saying. But he starts this conversation with them by saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. This is the last of what we call the I am statements, things that Jesus says about himself. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. Here he's saying, I am the true vine. So what's he actually saying about himself? Well, I think it's easy for us to miss it, but his Jewish listeners, they would have known. They would have known what he was saying because the nation of Israel had often been portrayed as a vine. A vine that was planted by God to bear fruit and to bring his blessing to the world. They didn't do that. They failed miserably. And in the books of Psalm 80, in Isaiah 5, in Jeremiah 2, we see Israel described as a false vine. They're described as unfaithful and unproductive. A false vine deserving only of judgment and exclusion from the kingdom of God. They're pretty damning words. They're harsh words. We don't like words of judgment. But one thing you notice when you read through the Bible is that alongside judgment, God also always offers hope. And in the Old Testament, through his prophets, we see God speak of a day in the future when a new vine would grow. A vine that would bud and blossom and would fill the whole earth with fruit. So when Jesus calls himself the true vine, his disciples hear him saying that he is the new vine. Jesus is replacing the old, unproductive vine of Israel. Now, we don't get it, but this is a huge statement. It would have been shocking for his Jewish listeners to hear. But Jesus goes on from there and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus claiming to be the Son of God. Again, we don't get how shocking this is, but his listeners did. Over his 3 years of ministry, some of those who listened to Jesus did choose to follow him because of these claims, because they saw the truth in what Jesus was saying. But equally, because of his claims, others chose not to follow him. And they chose instead to kill him on a cross like a common criminal, something that we know took place the very next day. Who is the gardener? The gardener is God. God, the creator of the world, the planter of the vine, the planter of the true vine. Sending his son Jesus into the world as one of us. Planting Jesus here so that he could do what Israel, the false vine, failed to do. Planted to be a blessing to all nations. To make God and his kingdom known and accessible to all people. And how does he do that? I love this part. He does it through what Jesus calls the branches. Jesus says, I am the true vine and you, my disciples, are the branches. I love this image of connection and life. Jesus is the vine and his followers are the branches. The branches that grow out from the vine, that get their life from the vine. I don't know if you've ever trimmed a grape or a passion fruit vine, but if you have, you'll know that once you've cut that piece off, once it's removed from the vine, it dies. It can't survive on its own, let alone bear good fruit. To survive, it has to remain connected to the vine. And that's Jesus's point here. He's saying that a relationship with God requires an attachment to Jesus. Not an attachment to the law. Not an attachment to a particular people group or belief system or even church. A relationship with God flows directly out of a relationship with Jesus. Now again, this would have been shocking for his listeners to hear. It's a major shift in Jewish thinking. It was then, but I think it is equally for us today. There are so many people today who think that they can know and have a relationship with God without Jesus, without being attached to the vine. They think that by going to church or by following religious rules, believing in their minds the right things, even trying to be nice, that these things will all make them acceptable to God. Well, Jesus says no. He says the only way that you can have a relationship with God is through Jesus. It's through a connection that has to be maintained if it's going to last. And in verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus goes on to talk about the importance of this connection, telling his followers that they have to remain in him if they're going to have this relationship with God. And we're going to talk more about that next week, and then David will talk more the week after about what that looks like. But for now, let me say that unless you and I intentionally remain connected to Jesus, we can't do what we were made for. We can't produce good fruit, and we can't be a blessing. But we'll talk more about that next week. But I wonder, when we talk about bearing fruit, what comes to mind? I know straight away in my mind I actually see apples and oranges and grapes. I think of fruit. But we know that's not what Jesus is talking about. As I read through commentaries to see what other people think, some think that Jesus is talking about the fruits of the Spirit that Paul describes in Galatians 6. I'm sure you know them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. All signs of someone who is living a Spirit-filled life. In other places in the New Testament, fruit is used as a metaphor for different things. Things like good character, righteousness or good works, good speech, servanthood, praising God. And these are all good things. But when you read through John's Gospel, what seems most likely is that the fruit that Jesus is talking about is the fruit of new believers. See, it's a key theme all through John's Gospel, this new life that men and women are invited to enter into. This new life that's given to men and women as they hear the good news about Jesus and then choose to believe and enjoy a relationship with God. I mean, surely that is good fruit that lasts. So it begs the question, how many of us are producing this good fruit? How many of us have produced good fruit lately? How many of us have shared our relationship with Jesus with another person so that they can see and know him for themselves? Because Jesus says that not every branch that comes out of the vine is going to go on to produce good fruit, even though that's what the branches are made for. Even though the branches have all of the resources that their connection to the vine gives, Jesus says not every branch is going to produce good fruit. And Jesus says, "My Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." The branches that bear no fruit are cut off. They're removed from the vine. They're separated. They are no longer connected or have part of the vine. Because branches that don't bear fruit, well, they're seen as useless. They're as good as dead, so the gardener cuts them off. He cuts them off because he doesn't want them to hold the rest of the branches back from producing the good fruit that they were meant to create. He cuts them off to create more space so that the healthy branches have more room to spread out and to grow and produce more fruit. It's not only the dead branches, though, that are cut off, that are pruned. Because Jesus says that even healthy branches get trimmed so that they can create more growth and better fruit and blessing. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. And those of us who have made a decision to follow in the way of Jesus are his branches. Jesus reaches out into our world through us. Through you and through me, through this church, through other churches, through Diane or Ray, and through others all around the world. And he will do whatever is necessary for those branches to be strong and healthy, for his branches to be able to produce the very best fruit, fruit that is going to last. He will do whatever is necessary. We don't like to talk about that. We don't like to talk about judgment. We don't like to talk about God cutting off someone. But God is not prepared to let anything stand in the way of his purpose and plan for reconciliation and restoration of humanity and our world. It's too important to him. He will cut off anyone who, like Israel, fails to produce good fruit. You know, our church has gone through a bit of a pruning process over the past few years, and while it might not have been what we wanted, or it might not have been the way we'd have gone about it, I think that most of us would agree that today we are a healthier, stronger, and more productive church because of it. But I don't think that God's finished with us yet still. In fact, I think he's just getting started. And whilst I don't think that that is going to involve more heavy pruning, or at least I'm hoping not, I do think that God, as our gardener, is going to be regularly trimming us back, doing whatever is needed for us to continue to grow stronger and healthier, so that we can produce even more fruit than we are now. Now, that's exciting, but at the same time, it's also a little bit painful. And it can sometimes be difficult to accept. And it requires us to trust in God's process alongside trusting in his love. It also needs for us to stay connected to the vine, connected to Jesus. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. And we are his branches. So let me ask you, as one of his branches, how have you experienced God's trimming lately? What's God pruned back in your life? What has he removed so that you can be more focused, maybe on following him? What might he have removed so that you would have more time to spend with other people? More time to spend with Jesus? More time to give, more time to serve. How have you responded to what God's doing? Have you responded with resistance, maybe with resentment, maybe even thinking that you know better about what you need or what would be good for you? Or have you responded by welcoming God's actions? Maybe by saying, I don't really like this, but I trust you. And so I'll go with you. I will walk in the way that you're leading. I will make that sacrifice. I will give this away. I will stop doing that because I trust you and I trust your process. Do you welcome God's actions and spend time with him asking, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What do I need to change or let go of or learn from so that I can be more fruitful? Is your prayer to our gardener, Lord, have your way in me? These verses from John 15 tell us that if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, then we will bear fruit. So are you bearing good fruit? Because if you're not, then maybe you need to relook at your connection to the vine. You need to look at your connection to the vine and see if it's strong. See if what you're doing is helping it to become strong. Relook at how you're living your life, who or what you're making time for, and how you are intentionally sharing Jesus with other people. Because according to Jesus' own words, just like a grapevine is useless if it isn't producing good fruit, so is someone who calls themselves a Christian but isn't making Jesus and the kingdom of God known to the people around them. So I want to finish by asking you to consider, are you a branch that bears good fruit? Are you reaching out to others with the message of life and freedom and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, just like someone reached out to you and shared Jesus with you? Are you drawing on the support and the strength that comes from the vine? Are you utilizing the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that is ours to receive? Are you seeking to become a healthy branch so that you can produce more good fruit that will last? Because that's what we are made for. And that's what Jesus is asking and calling us to do. Let's just pray. Father God, you are our creator. You are the gardener, the maker of our world. You created it and you sustain it and nurture it and cause it to grow. And you have sent your son, Jesus, planted him here in our world, so that he could make you known, so that he could provide a way for us as your branches to make you known. And so, Lord, we lift ourselves up to you today and we ask you to help us to become healthy branches, branches that reach out into the community, into our workplaces, into our homes, into where we study, where we shop, where we exercise. Helping us to become strong, healthy branches dependent on the vine, sharing you with everyone that crosses our path, showing them your love, your mercy, your grace, so that they can know the gift of forgiveness and freedom and life that you died to offer them. Help us this week, Lord, to look at our lives and to consider our connection to the vine, to choose to make it stronger, and to choose to be branches that stretch out from you and make you known, so that the people around us can see and know, consider and understand that you are God, and that you love them and desire a relationship with them. And we pray this in the name of our Saviour and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.